And as you walk, a couple of landmarks you can just track. Like, as you walk for a while, just feel what your right shoulder does. And by shoulder, I mean your shoulder area. You don't have to be specific about, like, a given point. Like, what? How does your general shoulder area on the right side move as you walk, or the left? How about if I say your right hip? Now, in walking, what does that include? Is it the side of you? Is it your buttock? Is it the crease in the front? Again, just think about that area. You know something's moving there. So what do you feel? And then the left, too. Now, how about your right shoulder and your left hip? And again, those areas. Right shoulder area, left hip area. If they're in relationship to each other, how much do you feel them as they might be coming more towards behind you? And more towards in front of you as you're stepping. And then take the other diagonal, your left shoulder, your right hip area. Now, somewhere right in the middle of you, and you can think of an X on the surface of your back, or you can think of an X on the surface of your front. But where the action happens is actually somewhere between the front and the back, and somewhere between the shoulders and the hips. Where do you feel any movement in the middle of yourself as you walk? Go ahead and find your place and lie down on your back. And if you're comfortable on your back without something underneath your head, push it aside and save the prop for when you're on your side, and get more of a feeling of how you're on your back, as comfortably of your head just being on the ground as works for you. Okay. So now, how about here? Where's your right shoulder area? There's a top, there's a bottom, there's a middle. Some part of it is contacted with the floor. Some part wraps around and comes to the front of you. Do you feel breath in there? Does the breath either change your feeling of the contact with the floor, that the pressure changes as you breathe, or does it change the feeling of what moves forward from the floor, under your collarbone, under those top ribs? Now the left. Again, first think about the back of the shoulder area, and then wrapping around to the front. It's funny because the structure of where our shoulder is one thing, and it's one thing we can attend to, but there's also just the felt way we feel our idea of shoulder. It has a lot to do with how we use our idea of shoulder. So just feel what that is for you right now. whether the breath moves there similarly or differently than on the right. Now, how about the right hip area? So there's the buttock that presses on the floor. There's either wrapping around the outside of yourself, the right side of yourself, and coming around to the top and feeling, where is that? The hip joint falls sort of in that, if you're wearing a sort of a Speedo or traditional like women's kind of swimsuit where there's like that quote bikini line, like the fold in your leg, that's where your hip joint is, lies around that crease. So where do you find that crease, where do you find your hip joint, and maybe even wrap around to it's below the hip joint, but where do you feel the top of the leg, that whole three-dimensional something like a circle or a cylinder of the leg attaching to the trunk. And in the center of there is somewhere in the middle, well, not a perfect center, but somewhere in the middle of that is where your hip joint is. But you can feel the whole area. And then do that with the left. So now more or less, whatever approximation of this feeling is available to you at the beginning of the lesson, can you think about the X we were talking about in walking? You could draw it against the floor and on your back, from right hip joint to left shoulder, and from left hip joint to right shoulder. Or you could place it across the front of yourself as well. But in terms of when we're walking, when we're standing, the action of how those things twist in relation to each other is in the middle of us. So in whatever way you work your way towards a feeling or maybe even just an idea of the middle, find the middle of yourself and the middle of that X. And notice whether that is a place that's lifted from the floor in terms of your back or resting on the floor. Is it a place that you can feel your breath moving? Okay. Now, when you're ready, go ahead and roll onto your right side. And on your right side, some of you may be a little bit close together that you need to get a little bit of space, but your right arm and your left arm are going to come sort of directly forward of you, of shoulder height. So the two arms will be, the right arm will be forward and the left arm will be resting somewhere. You don't need to stretch in any way. It may be touching the forearm or the wrist of the right arm. They don't have to be perfectly lined up. And your bottom leg, your right leg, is going to come long, which will leave the bent left leg, resting on the floor sort of in front of you. So now in this position, you're going to take your left hand And very slowly, start from wherever the fingertips touch now, whether it's the right wrist or right forearm, and you're going to slowly, as if caressing the right hand, you're going to slowly bring the left fingers to come and meet the right fingers. And just feel, how do you do that? Is it just if the right arm is out in front with the elbow unbent, so at its gentle full length, what needs to happen for your left fingers to come and caress the right hand and all the way up to the fingertips and back? And now note for yourself, what does it mean to be on your side? With the left leg drawn up to the side, it's possible that your shoulders are not one stacked above the other in terms of the floor or the ceiling, but in fact that the left shoulder has rolled forward as the right hip, or as the left hip rather has. So play around a little bit with, as you bring the left fingers back, that you actually think about the shoulders coming to be sort of stacked in relation to the room. How can your shoulders actually be on the side, really on the side, as your starting position, and then the arm reaching, and there's some twist or some moving forward just as the left hip is moving forward, but that the neutral place with the shoulder would be one of being stacked, of the right shoulder on the floor and the left shoulder more or less in the direction of the ceiling, that the flat of your back was facing the door. And then go ahead and pause with the arms and just come back to this idea of drawing up the right leg back into a folded position and coming onto the side. Really feel your right side. How can you feel that one hip joint is stacked on the other hip joint? One way you could think about it is, could it bear weight? You can even take your own left hand and press a little down towards the floor into your left hip joint and feel. Can you feel any either impulse from that pressure, or just that you can sense that if someone was to put some weight there, that it would travel through the pelvis from one side of the pelvis to the other, so from the left hip joint into the right hip joint into the pressure on the floor. Okay. So now, think the same thing about your shoulders. Is the right shoulder actually below the left shoulder, or is the left shoulder a little forward or back? It's a little harder to reach here. You could, if you're interested, take your right hand and maybe touch your left shoulder and just give a little pulse. Feel, is it forward? If someone was to put some weight there, would you roll forward or back? Or would the weight transfer down through into the floor? So so now if you found a place where your shoulders are really stacked, now go ahead and lengthen
your left leg again, your right leg, your bottom leg. And we'll come back into that position. And again, from here, with the shoulders really stacked up, bring the hands forward and slide the fingertips a little back and forth. And now there's a few ways you could think about sliding the fingertips back and forth. One would be that the shoulder blade moves across the ribs, and that to whatever degree the shoulder blade is free, your contact on the right side of your ribs doesn't really change on the floor. It's just this little bit of a slide of the shoulder blade forward and back. And now consider that the movement was less in the shoulder blade and more about that rolling of the rib cage that we were just finding, and that there's something that can happen at the waist and the right shoulder coming forward and then back to be above the left shoulder. And go back and forth a little bit with playing with one and then the other, what it's like to move the shoulder blade and not the ribs, or what it's like to move more in the ribs and the spine, and there's less relative movement of the shoulder blade across the ribs. It's not only different in your sort of your waist area or some part of the middle of your spine, it may be very different, two different actions for your neck. So note, whatever you chose first, whichever was the way that you first did this movement, whether it was predominantly the shoulder blade sliding or it was predominantly rolling in the rib cage, was there something easier about what you chose? Either for your neck or your waist, or your breath. Now, if it feels available and comfortable, go ahead and let the fingers roll past, let the left fingers roll past the right fingers. And again, if you're doing this, really allow the rib cage to be part of this. It would be rolling a little bit more in the direction of your belly, a little bit more in the direction of your front. And so you're really defining where is your side and where is beginning to come towards the front. And if it's uncomfortable for your left hip, you can put something underneath your knee. If you need to raise your left knee a little bit to have it be comfortably drawn forward, you can do that. And then pause. You can come onto your backs and rest. And again, if you're comfortable without the prop underneath your head, just slide it out of the way. So one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about these last few weeks is that it's said a lot in Feldenkrais classes that it's not about the movement, that we're not looking to achieve a certain organization or a certain final sort of end product in terms of a range of motion or things that can be very seductive to our attention, to measure our learning in outcomes that seem so concrete. But that really, what this is a chance for us to do is to practice
getting ourselves into a condition for learning. We're practicing how we learn here. And the actions that we undertake are just little, they're like the framework that we get to experiment with what we're really doing within. So there are a few different things that really struck me, and I'll talk about them throughout this lesson, and I'll read some nice quotes. But throughout this lesson, one of the reasons why I chose this lesson in particular is there's actually only 5 actions. They don't particularly build. This is like a little medley of the best of things on the side. So some of these things that we do will feel easy or available. Some of these things may feel less so. But it's not about that that we're actually engaging in this activity of sensing our pleasure, our attention, and how that relates to our action. So I'm going to keep inviting you to just use this as an experiment with your attention and an experiment in sort of self-care, because that's actually what we're trying to practice here, is bringing awareness to how we learn, not what we learn, not the content of what we learn, but how we go about learning. Moshe was very clear about that. Our cultures affect our beliefs about how we learn and how we prove to ourselves we've learned. And dismantling some of that is where we actually can get back to real awareness rather than seeking approval with the actions that we do or the ways that we set about our learning conditions. So when you're ready, go ahead and roll onto your right side again. You can put a prop under your head. And again, first really feel, are you on your side? Over the course of this, you may change your idea of what it means to feel like on your side, either for your hips or for your shoulders. And now go ahead again and lengthen the left leg, the leg that's against the floor, lengthen it. Note for yourself, is your right hip comfortable folded forward like that and folded up? If it's pulling a little bit in some part of your back or some part of your hip, you could, putting something under your left knee will not get in the way of the movement.
You have the right and the left. What's that? Do you have the right and the left back?
Something under your right knee?
Okay, I can understand that.
Oh, was I saying left knee? I'm sorry. There you go. Try that.
And now bring the arms forward again. And the right arm is on the ground, and the left arm is extended to touch the right fingertips. And now looking at your hand, bring your left arm up, not even quite all the way to the ceiling, but you're going to arc it, maybe a little bit, and then down. If coming to the ceiling is comfortable for you and your head prop doesn't get in the way, you can do that, but don't do it all at once. Or if you did do it as your first action, do the smaller actions. Do a foot, come up a foot and down. Come up a few inches and down. And the arm is straight, the elbow is relatively straight. It doesn't have to be locked, but it's gently extended. Both arms, the elbow is straight and forward. And now notice, even when the arm moves, say, 2 feet, a foot, 2 feet, can the nose and the fingertips be moving together? Could you imagine some
cord, or that you were one image that was given was that you were holding a stick lightly between your fingers and your nose. And you weren't letting that stick drop. So every time the arm is moving, the face is moving. And in between each lifting of the arm, again, the elbow is straight as much as is comfortable. If the nose is following along with the fingers, really moving, and whatever speed you're going now, even if you're going quite slowly, can you go half that speed? To really notice, if there was a stick there, would it fall? If the hand is moving more or less than the nose, would that stick actually stay held between? And if the nose and the fingers are moving together, it means that the action of twisting is somewhere in somewhere lower than your face. Where do you feel the twist? Where does the twist actually come from? And pause on your side and now think it through. If the hand and the face are staying in a constant relationship with each other, and the twist is having to, the movement is happening somewhere lower down between your hips, which are more or less still on the floor, and your face and arm, which are moving together, the twist is going to be somewhere between those two things. Can you imagine, rather than thinking about the nose or the hand, can you imagine that the twist in that spot is what initiates the arm lifting? That it's not thinking about the arm coming up, but rather that as that twist occurs, the arm will come up. And then give it a try. And again, it's something to play with. That image might be something that could feel like the arm just lifts, or maybe then you go back to lifting the arm and feeling where the twist is in the back and kind of can go back and forth. Awareness through movement, one way I love to think about it, is it's potentially like it's a playground, right? These are all these different little movements we do, these are the swing sets, or the jungle gym, or, you know, the rings that you can go one to another. You don't have to play with everything, and you don't have to play with it right. You do a little bit, you see what it feels like. You do another little bit, you vary your attention. You give yourself the luxury of knowing that the only outcome is for you to experiment in a way that engages your attention and gives you pleasure, gives you fun, gives you a more filled-in sense of how you know yourself. And do that just once or twice, as you like. And when you're done and ready to leave it, go ahead and slide your prop out from under your head and rest on your back. So if it's comfortable to have, like, if unless it's painful to have your head up on a prop, please slide it out and just feel what how you feel on the floor. Unless to lie your head back on the floor would be painful in some way. Now, you've been, these actions have just been on one side. Or have they been? One side of you has been in contact with the floor and moving against the floor. And one side of you has been free to move into the room. And so there are likely consequences of those two relationships to the action that you just undertook that you can feel some now in your sides. Has anything changed about how you locate that center of yourself? By thinking about that X from right shoulder to left hip and left shoulder to right hip, or how's your breathing in that place? And now, in a minute, you're going to roll onto your left side, and we will play with those two variations on using the right arm moving and the left side against the floor. So think through a little bit what we just did. If you were imagining transferring these actions over onto that you're rolled onto the left, your right knee is bent, but your left leg is long against the ground, your two arms are out in front of you at shoulder height, your left arm stays against the floor, and your right arm slides a little forward and back. And even in your imagination, can you think about details like the hip joints being stacked one on top of another, that if someone was to put a little pressure into that top right hip joint, that it would travel through directly to the floor? Or from your right shoulder to your left shoulder. And that as your right fingertips slid forward, your right shoulder would come forward of that stacking and then back up to stack. And then the second variation will be in that same position with the two arms forward, that the right arm will begin to float up towards the ceiling, and that you'll follow the right fingers with the nose, and that you'll be looking for where does that twist actually come from. So now, in your own time, I'd like you to, as you're ready, roll onto your right, and just, I'm not going to give a lot of directions here. I'm going to give you time to play with those two options. You can be very systematic of one and the other, or you can go back and forth. But
did
now
left,
is... what's that?
Did you mean left?
To roll onto your left side? Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I say right? Yeah. Please go ahead and roll onto your left side. And go ahead and just play with these two variations.
drawing out as many details as you can, varying your own experience. You can allow yourself to get curious about the things you're curious about, whether that's the feeling in the right fingertips. And spend a lot of doing this movement just really letting yourself be very immersed in the tactile sense of your right fingertips. Or perhaps for you it's your breath. One possible other thing you could attend to is if your right hip is a little bit forward of your left hip because the right knee is drawn up, when does the right shoulder come even with the right hip? Or forward of it, or back of it? You can think those two points in relationship. There are so many different relationships going on right now. And really, any of them is worthy of an entire lesson. Any of them is a place that you can access your attention, access a way that you can really enrich your awareness. About your eyes. Even if your eyes are closed, you may notice that you're not looking forward or that you are looking at your hand. You could play even with closed eyes, with looking down or looking up as you make this action. If you happen to be engaged in the variation where the hand is floating up towards the ceiling and the nose is following, that happens to be where you are. Can you note whether, as you bring the arm up and you bring the arm down, that you feel the force, the weight of the arm and the hand traveling to the left shoulder on the floor differently? When is there the most of the weight of the right arm pouring down through into the left shoulder and into the floor? How do you roll across that part of yourself? And you can continue to vary these two actions, to play with this as you like, but when you're ready to take a pause, go ahead and push the prop underneath your head away and rest on your back. Now we've done these actions on both sides. So each side of you had a chance to move in the room, and each side of you had a chance to feel being against the floor. And so now check in with that, the idea of that X again, the middle. Is it more or less in contact with the floor than you felt before? And this might be easier to feel if your arms are alongside your legs rather than over your head. So if you're arms are just simply alongside, it will change the orientation of your shoulders. You can feel that. If your arms are over your head, you can bring them up and feel how the contact of the shoulders changes with the floor. And then when your arms come down along your side, the shoulder blades are in a different contact with the floor. And as we took our little scan in walking in the beginning, we're interested in some of really feeling the shoulders and the X of ourselves with the arms alongside, which is what we do when we walk. So if your arms are above your head, go ahead and bring them alongside and check into where your X is there. That's the X we're feeling for. In the middle will change in contact likely too. Also feel your breath. Just go ahead and rest for a moment, and I'm going to read a little meta-commenting from one of our teachers. Kim taught the lesson last week about the four volumes for breathing, and this is from that same segment of our training. So Yvonne Jolie was our trainer who, this is a transcription of his words during one of the lessons that was related to the lesson that Kim taught last week. And what he's referring to is that when we have goals, or when we think that there's a particular thing to achieve, we have certain kinds of ideas of certainty and rightness about how something should happen. And that, in fact, that is not the state we undertake when we're learning. That when we're learning, we look for what is. We're looking to question certain certainties and be able to be playful with them a little bit to see what is, you know, what is both true now, but also that all kinds of variations are possible in the changing of our experience. So he says, there's an interesting paradox in this work. We refer to our feeling and our senses as a source of validity. Yet a feeling is only a feeling. It is both learning to trust our feelings and to mistrust them at the same time. Not mistrust as in a suspicion, but you're here to educate your feelings. You have a certain answer right now to what feels easier, more adequate, and more somatological for you. It's nice, but don't trust it, change it, vary it,
educate your senses. That's eventually what you'll have to bring to other people. As a person who has spent a lot of time hanging out with oneself and educating one's sense. The present truth is tomorrow's error. Do you realize that? It's always the case in science. One discovery does not necessarily invalidate the previous one, but it puts it into a completely different context. We have a lot of humility about our truth. Being a Feldenkrais teacher is a very humbling experience. This work is precious to me as a vehicle for learning awareness, which is open-ended, lifelong. It's a commitment and an interest of mine, and probably yours too if you're here. You've made some discoveries about what is better for now. It's a temporary truth. But as soon as we hold on to something as true in any domain, we create rigidity. Then we have to find ways to restart the creative process and come out of our strictness and our rigidity. Truth is one of the greatest attractors of rigidity, unless we consider that what is true is a temporary truth and that it's my truth of the day. Tomorrow, something else may come up and we may have to review. It makes my life as a trainer and my life more fun. I'm bringing you into this process. And even the process changes and evolves. So, as we come to this next set of variations, I'd really like to invite you to, you may have certain ideas about what you can and can't do, or about what is or isn't the right way to move your arm or move your hip. And educate yourself. If you go slowly, if you go small, if you go with attention, there's often a lot more ways that we can shake up what we thought was a truth that constricted us about our self-image. And we can start to see that our feeling of ourselves is very malleable, very open to the world, and very open to learning. So when you're ready, you can roll onto the right. You can bring something again onto your head if that feels comfortable. You may be noticing that what you need under your head is changing in height. Maybe you want more, maybe you want less. See. Again, educate your senses. It was true a minute ago, but what actually do you prefer now? And now you'll bring the bottom leg, the right leg long, and the left knee will be forward. And the right arm will be long against the floor as it was before, but the left arm, the hand will stand on the floor and the elbow will bend. We sometimes call this right leg like similar to a push-up position. The upper arm is more or less in parallel with the ceiling. The lower arm stands up and down, and the hand is against the floor. And now from here, you're going to, with the support of the left hand standing, you're going to slide your left knee forward and back. So forward of you, sort of more towards the direction of your pelvis or your belly rolling towards the floor, and then back. So maybe not all the way stacked, but back to whatever the neutral was. And so now feel the twist coming from the bottom. And as you're doing this, as much as possible, as much as is comfortable, when you're in your neutral position with your hips, that you look to have the shoulders again stacked, that the left shoulder will be above the right shoulder, and that the shoulders remain relatively still. If you need to slide the knee a little less, for the shoulders not to roll forward as the knee comes forward, then do a little less. It can be very small. What you're looking for here is a precision in your feeling. So how can you feel that this action of the left knee coming a little forward and back can happen somewhere in the middle of yourself and somewhere in the hip, but not in the shoulders? Or you may discover that your shoulders want to be part of things all the time. That may also be a temporary truth. But the degree to which you can keep the shoulders still and move from below will really, really illuminate which part of the middle is moving for the knee to come forward. Can help you find it. When you're ready to leave that alone, you can pause and push your head support away and roll onto your back for a moment. And feel how does the right hip that was against the floor feel? How does the left hip that was sliding back and forward feel? When you're ready to return, you'll roll onto that same side, onto your right side. The right leg will be long, the left leg will be drawn up forward, and bent at the knee. The left hand will be on top of the right. And just once or twice, bring the left fingers and the face up towards the ceiling together. And just feel what that's like, if it's changed at all. And then you can come and bring the hand in the direction of the ceiling, the nose in the direction of the ceiling, and pause there, and now very small at first, in fact, first think this, what would it feel like to lengthen your fingertips a little towards the ceiling? And once you've thought it, then try it, and try it small. And notice, what do you feel in the shoulder blade? What might you feel in your neck? How about in the middle of yourself? If you let that action grow, let that reach grow a little bit, but still within gentleness, still within comfort, do you feel your ribs against the floor change at all? Or is there any movement in your top hip, your left hip, as your arm comes up? Is there any response in your hip? So now Think of what you're using as landmarks here. Think of what's drawing your attention on this side, because after we finish this variation, you'll pause on your back and then you'll try these on the other side. But before you leave this position, give yourself some things that you know you want to think about when you roll onto the other side, some things you want to compare. Whatever those are for you, give yourself some markers. Again, it might be your neck or your hip or your contact with the floor or your breath or the feeling of your shoulder blade sliding or some way that the relationship of your nose changes with your hand. Again, there are just so many possibilities of what your attention could discover about this action all throughout yourself. And when you're ready to leave that, pause and roll onto your back. And in your own time, as you're ready, you can roll onto the left. And maybe before you begin moving on the left, think through those two variations. The left leg is long against the floor, the right leg is bent forward. For the first variation, the left arm is long, but the right arm, the hand is on the floor and in sort of a push-up position. And before you begin, just think about that right knee coming forward and back. Think about some of the things that you felt on the other side. Do you already have a couple of places that you know you want to attend to when you begin to slide the knee that were interesting on the other side and you'd like to compare? And then go ahead, take up the movement as you like, checking in with those things that for you were interesting or meaningful in some way. And just like the hand sliding, one way to vary your attention of this action is simply to feel the tactile feeling of, as you bring the knee forward, more of the part of your middle, maybe the soft parts of your belly or below your rib cage, contacting the floor, really sort of pouring forward and being supported by the floor. It's an interesting thing in ATM to go back and forth between feeling movement in, say, our joints and feeling our skin, feeling the surface of our actual haptic sense. Again, you can play with this as long as you like before a short pause on your back. And as you roll onto your back, you could maybe feel the feeling of rolling more and more onto your back. You can remain on your back and rest as long as you like, or you can begin to feel the feeling of rolling from your back onto your side, and again, coming back into that position for the final variation, but that all the places along the way are something you can feel as well. You can feel the rolling along your side. You can feel the drawing up of the right knee, maybe as the foot trails against the floor or the other leg. And then this last variation will be, you know, drawing the right arm up towards the ceiling, arcing and following with the nose. And just feeling how that, the feeling of twisting has changed before you then come back up again and stay with the hand towards the ceiling and play with a little bit of lifting. First, think about the lift. Maybe remember some of the things from the other side that you found intriguing about the way you lifted your arm, and now check them out on this side. What do you find here? Does your contact with the floor change as the hand comes up and down? How does the movement travel upward through your neck and to your head? Look downward into your middle waist or low ribs. Play with that as much more as you like. And when you feel satisfied with this temporary set of impressions and experiences, you can lie on your back for the last rest before we get up and walk. Now, what's the sense you have? I'll just talk you through the scan we did in the beginning so you can compare. Of your right shoulder against the floor, the whole shoulder area, the shoulder blade, everything that
could be part of your image of shoulder. And then think about wrapping around over the top and towards the front. Maybe you can feel your collarbone. And how does your breath affect that whole area? Backwards down into the floor, forwards towards your collarbone and those upper ribs. That's upward into the top part of your shoulder. Or downward towards your waist. And now your left shoulder. Spend time feeling the back, the top, the front, and how your breath moves there. Now your right hip, the contact of the buttock, around the side, along the that seam, that's the bend of where your leg meets your pelvis. And then the left. And now can you think all four and put an X in there somewhere from right shoulder to left hip, left shoulder to right hip, and where is it in the center of you, in the middle of you? And then at that place of where those lines intersect, how do you feel the back of yourself? Are you in more or less contact with the floor? Do you feel more or less length through that place than the beginning of the lesson? And then your breath. How does your breath move in that area? And then go ahead and rest. Are you looking for the green? When you are ready, you can slowly come up to sit and to stand. And if you still are curious in your attention for this, you can think about as you draw yourself up towards sitting, that you can keep feeling either these spots, like your shoulder and your hip, or actually just the way you make contact with the floor as you come up. But you, to the degree that you like, can remain connected to your feeling yourself. You can sense yourself in standing.
then you can feel free to check in with one or the other shoulder or one or the other hip area. And bring it into walking when you like. Thanks, everybody.